should be all of our testimony. And it's amazing. I know they say that sometimes after you've been married so long, your minds sort of work together. But I had no idea that that's what she was going to say. But it's, it is amazing, because that's synonymous with what the Lord had laid upon my heart tonight. And in fact, it's almost verbatim exactly what she was talking about, and how that if I had a message topic tonight, it would be, we have this ministry. We have this ministry. You know, many years ago, when the Lord was dealing with my heart to preach the gospel, I actually ran from it for probably over 2 years, knowing what God had in store for me, wanted me to end the ministry, but really denying, that it was the call. And but when I finally, God got His way, and when I finally succumbed to obeying Him, one of the first things that I did was look up the word minister, and it simply means one who attends to the needs of others. So God had called me into the servant's capacity. And so many people, I think, misconstrue that when they think that ministry or preaching the Word of God is a high and lofty office. It's basically the office of a servant of Christ. And I believe that each and every one of us have a ministry to fulfill. It may not all be preaching, but if the Lord lives inside us, amen, it's like Sister Penny said, I want to see others, amen, receive what God has given us. I want to see others have a life-changing event. And how many is thankful for the life-changing event that happened in your lives? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, amen. Well, let's go to the Bible, amen. I love the Word of God. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. I know there's other places that we could be, but thank God that you had a desire. As Sister Penny said, it's my desire. My desire was to come to church tonight and be in the fellowship of the saints of God and to hear His wonderful Word. Amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, bear with me if you would. I want to read down through verse number 10 tonight. Again, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love You, and we thank You, God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your abounding love. Thank You, Lord, for this night and this opportunity to come into Your presence. God, I pray the leadership of the Holy Ghost tonight. God, I pray that You would just anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel, Lord, to speak to our hearts tonight, that we might be submissive, that we might be obedient, God, to Your will and to Your Word. And Father, we do remember those who are lost, seemingly those who are unconcerned tonight. And Father, I pray for a Holy Ghost revival. I pray, God, that You would stir hearts. Pray, God, that You would prick minds. God, to seek You, Lord, God, first in their life. I pray, Lord, that You would touch and anoint those that are sick, those that are afflicted. Father, I pray for healing for their bodies. Again, Lord, we just ask You to anoint these lips of clay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. As I've already said, my topic tonight is, we have this ministry. And my thought is this week, if since we have been blessed with this ministry, and this is the Apostle Paul's writing, and I just want to confirm tonight that I believe with all of my heart that the Apostle Paul was talking to the church here at Corinth, not necessarily just to the preachers, not just necessarily to those who were ministers of the service, but I believe that he was addressing a topic to the entire church. How many knows that the whole body must be about God's business? Amen. Not just the leadership, not just the ones who are in ministry leadership, but the entire church. And if you want to see a church that's on fire, if you want to see a church where miracles are being performed and where folks are being saved, you're going to see a church where the entire body is working together with a cohesiveness, amen, where every joint supplieth, meaning every part of the body. Now, God has set us in the body as it pleases Him, amen. How many knows that we don't always get to do what we want to do? We do what God has called us to do, and if we do that with our whole heart, mind, soul, and body, then God will get the glory. So again, as Sister Penny, I don't believe she looked at my notes tonight because I didn't write very many notes, but that's kind of confirmation tonight that she would testify about that situation. Then maybe seemingly the Lord is laying things not only on our heart but her heart as well, that we need to understand that. And they're basically, you know, our little saying on our T-shirt says, First Pentecostal Church, it's not about us, it's all about Him. Amen. Well, all about Him is testifying and witnessing to others and trying to get other folks saved and trying to get other folks filled with the Spirit of God and ministering and helping in whatever capacity that the Lord has called us to do. No, we're not all preachers. No, we're not all singers and have beautiful voices like these men that sung tonight. Wasn't that a blessing? Amen. That God uses ministry and song and all of these things. But we need to be about the Lord's business. But as we say tonight, we have this ministry. What are we doing with it? And that's a question that I want us just to kind of pose to ourselves tonight. What are we doing with what God has blessed us with? If He's given us a talent, if He's given us an ability to reach souls, if He's given us an ability to teach, to whatever it is that that the Lord has placed us in the body of the church, are we doing it? And are we doing it for Him? And we're not doing it for our own self or for accolades or for a pat on the back. But we do have this ministry. And the Apostle Paul mentioned that. And I love this writing here as he began to address this. First of all, I want to talk about this ministry. And he mentions some very wonderful characteristics about this ministry. First of all, he talks about mercy. Thank God for mercy. There's a beautiful song that said, "Mercy stepped in," or "Mercy walked in." Aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad for that the Lord had mercy on us? Amen. And not only mercy, but He forgave us. So many times we associate mercy with salvation, and certainly salvation is a part of the mercy of God. Had it not been for the mercy of God, had it not been for Jesus Christ, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for that crucifixion and for the death, burial, and resurrection, where would we be? We would still be in the Old Testament trying to live up to the Mosaic law. Thank God for mercy. I, for one, am very, very grateful. But with mercy not only comes salvation, but one writer said it also comes favor, benefits, and opportunities. Let's look at the favor first. Amen. Aren't you glad that God smiles and has favor on us? Aren't you glad we do not receive what we deserved? I, for one, am very, very glad. I'm glad that God had mercy on me and brought me into the light and brought me into the knowledge that I needed to repent and that I needed to be filled with His Spirit and I needed to be about His business. Certainly, we have the favor of God. So many times, we have the favor of God and even fail to appreciate it, fail to thank Him. If you make it through a day unharmed in this day of all the things that are happening in the world, then you ought to be thankful for the favor of God. If you can drive to Atlanta and come back and be safe, you ought to thank God for the favor of God. If you can wake up in the morning and you have the strength to get up off the bed, put your feet on the ground. I love what Brother Keith says. He said, "I was able to let my feet touch the ground this morning." He thanks God for that each and every day. That is part of the favor of God. And not only does He give us salvation, but He has favor on us. But He also gives us benefits. Amen. Thank God for the benefits that God gives us. And they're multiple. Too many for me even try to mention tonight. All the wonderful fringe benefits of the Spirit of God, of the infilling of His Spirit, and for the favor that He gives us. But then it also mentions, or this writer mentioned, opportunities. Now, so far, it's been the recipient of God's mercy. This is the application of God's mercy. Okay? We love benefits, right? Amen. You know, I've told you what Mom always told me about the lifeline in my hand. She said, "Son, you see that M in your hand?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, Mama, I see that." She said, "That means you're going to have money." That's great. That's that favor part. Then she turned it over and she said, "But you see that W? That means you're going to have to work for it." Amen. Now, I'm not saying you got to work for salvation. God forbid. That is not. That's because of mercy. But because of mercy, because of salvation, because of the favor of God, He has placed in our life opportunities. Now, if you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, you have a ministry. Whether or not it's behind the pulpit, whether or not it's behind a podium, whether or not it's behind a microphone, we have a ministry. And that ministry is part of God's plan, amen, for the saving of souls. So there's opportunities. Brother Eddie, where are these opportunities? You see them each and every day. They're people that you work with. They're family members. They're people in your neighborhood. People that you shop with. You never know what somebody's going through. You know what? And if we don't give them a word of encouragement, the world is certainly not going to do it. Amen? The world is just out there ready to bite people up and chew them up and spit them out. But because we have this ministry, we have an opportunity to help change lives. Amen? To point them to Christ. To tell them something good. Many, many people go through the day hearing nothing but gloom and doom and sadness and sorrow. And it's up to us Christians. It's up to us born-again folks, amen, to shed a little light in their life. Amen? And I'm going to get to it in a little bit, but I just want to kind of throw this in too. It's not about ourselves, okay? And the Apostle Paul, he addresses that. It's not about us. It's all about Him. But what He has done for us, we can share that with others if we understand that the ministry that we have is for others. So He tells us that the mercy that He gives us, amen, not only includes salvation, favor, benefits, and opportunities, but it also tells us that we faint not. Now, the fainting away that the Bible talks about is not losing consciousness, it's losing heart, okay? It's losing initiative. It's losing drive. And when you get to that state of mind, you're not going to be able to help too many other folks. If you stay discouraged, if you stay upset, if you say, "Oh me, always wringing your hands, what am I going to do?" That's not going to be too much that's going to help folks or enlighten others. But if you can face adversity, if you can face situations in your life, you can go through the valleys and come out victorious on the other side. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you can go into the fire all bound up and come out with your arms raised, praising and glorifying God, then you've got a ministry that's welled up in your spirit, and you'll be able to reach other folks, you'll be able to help other folks, you'll be able to encourage other folks. And the Apostle Paul here says, whatever you do, don't faint, don't lose heart, don't get discouraged, don't get exhausted, all those things that go along with the many things that happen to us. Because understand that the devil's trying to attack our spirit. He attacks our flesh, but he's trying to attack our spirit and to cause us to faint in our spirit. So faint not. Then he goes on to say in verse number 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let's talk about that just a little bit. What does renounce mean? No longer doing it, okay? Renounce it, we forbid it, we don't do it, we discourage it, that we're above that, amen. How many knows that we, when we're born again, there's certain things that we need not to continue to do, amen? The Bible tells us, it's not my rules, it's not my opinions, it's not my thoughts, but the Bible's very explicit in telling us how that we are supposed to live a Christian life. Amen. We're not supposed to be as the world. We're not supposed to be as those or that are out there without the light and the knowledge of Christ. And that's what it talks about. That's the reason that's hid to them, because they've been spiritually blinded, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But we, as the children of God, have renounced the hidden or the secret things. Amen. When you realize that Jesus Christ is alive and well in your life, there is nothing more that's going to be hid from Him, regardless of what it is. You may hide it from wife. You may hide it from husband. You may hide it from church. You may hide it from the pastor, but you cannot hide it from Jesus Christ. So you denounce or renounce those hidden things. And if when you start doing that, you'll feel a closeness to God, closeness to God that maybe you hadn't felt in a long time, because there are no more secrets. There's no more hidden things. Everything is open to God. Your life is an open book. So therefore, you can begin to use that ministry that God has given you. And by the way, let me see the hands of you who have a ministry. I hope it's 100%. Amen. Because so many times we think, well, I don't sing, I don't preach, I don't testify. You still have a ministry. If you're a child of God, you got a ministry. Amen. So many times, and I tell people this all the time, there will be people that you'll reach that a pastor could never, ever reach because you have an association with them. You know them. Maybe you have things in common with them. So when they see your life and when they see how you handle adversity and situations in your life, it makes an impact on them. So walk the walk and talk the talk. If you can't walk the walk, you're not going to be able to talk the talk because they're not going to be affected by your life. But if you can talk it and then measure it up with your walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the things that are renounced are hidden or secret things, inner feelings that cause us to doubt or cause us to not be obedient unto the Lord, desires. How many knows that the flesh still is one, probably our biggest obstacle, our biggest battle is with ourselves. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I'm my world's worst critic. That's because you know yourself. We know ourselves better than anybody else. So sometimes we beat ourselves up. Sometimes we think, well, I can't be in a ministry. I can't be in the ministry. I can't do this. I can't do that because I failed this and I'm not qualified for this and I don't speak well and all those things. And so many times we hinder the work of God because we are putting ourselves down. Remember, it's not about us. It's all about Him. Amen. And you may have an astounding effect on somebody, amen, that nobody else could. So we need to renounce those hidden things, those desires, the craftiness and the trickery and the dishonesty. And when I was reading those things, all I could think about was Satan. Doesn't that adequately describe Satan? The trickery, the deceitfulness, the dishonesty, the craftiness, all of those things. So many times, you know, the Bible says he comes as an angel of light. So by natural eyesight, probably looks very enticing. Yeah, but we're not buying what he's selling, okay? Come on, if it's against the Word of God, if he's trying to get you to do anything that's ungodly or that's not backed up by the Word of God, I like to call it the Holy Ghost bell. If that little Holy Ghost bell goes off in your life, something's not right, then you need to pray about it. You know, amen, and obey God rather than the devil when he comes with his craftiness and his trickery. But even as he does that, it has infiltrated the world today. You know, we're living in a time where truth is really, really mishandled. Certainly does not need to be that way with Christians. Amen. We need to state the truth. Sometimes truth hurts, but we need to state the truth because this word is based on truth, and the truth will set you free. Can you say amen? How many believes that we need to be truthful? Amen. God knows we need to be truthful because anything we tell him other than what we're living, amen, he knows that that's not truthful. So we need to be truthful. And if you'll be truthful to other people, they'll respect that. I believe that with all of my heart. May not agree with you, but they'll respect it. Then he talks about an open manifestation. Excuse me, just a minute. An open manifestation of the truth. What is an open manifestation? It's living it. Letting the light of Jesus Christ illuminate in our lives. You know, I once made a statement when I was teaching a Sunday school class. There's so much said about the way a Christian should look and what a Christian should wear. And I believe in a holiness, and I believe in humbleness, and I believe in modesty. But I made the statement that a true Christian, if everything else was blacked out around them and you couldn't see anything but their face, there ought to be something glowing in that Christian's face to let people know that that's a born-again Christian. And I say that because so many people judge you by your facial expressions. And amen, if we're filled with the Spirit of the Lord and we got joy, 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 and everywhere we walk and everywhere we talk, nobody can see that joy, joy, joy. That's not a very good example of the way a Christian should live their life. So many times we're worrying about how we're going to witness to somebody, how we're going to tell them, how we're going to convert them when they can't even see the joy of living for God in our lives. Now, there's going to be times when that's going to be very hard to do. Because sometimes you gotta expel joy when you're not experiencing joy. And that's what I'm talking about. The flesh may not be in a joyous situation, but how many knows no matter how bad the situation is, the Spirit of God that is within us still is joy. And it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. You can have joy in the midst of adversity. You can have joy in the midst of problems and situations that arise in your life. So it is an open manifestation of the truth. Basically, we live, amen, and we state the truth, okay? We speak the truth and we live the truth. If we speak the truth and don't live the truth, then we have become a hindrance to people. We have become confusion to people. We have to back up exactly what the Word of God says. So we have this ministry. In other words, we have an obligation. An obligation, amen, first of all, to live for God, and an obligation to reach out to others. Then he mentions commending or conducting ourselves. Commending. Basically right here. But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Commending, or basically, is conducting ourselves. Now, how many has ever been told you need to conduct yourself as an adult? Or if you work for a company, you need to conduct yourself as a professional. How many knows we need to conduct ourselves as a Christian? That doesn't mean we can't have a good time. You know, there was a misconception for many, many years that Christians were the driest, boringest, old fogiest people around. And that's not the case at all. Amen? We can have fun. We can have a good time. We can enjoy the things that this world, that the Lord has placed here for us to enjoy. But it should not ever completely take us away from our service for the Lord. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then He'll add these other things unto you. So we need to commend or conduct ourselves in the sight and presence of God before man, okay? Now, I'm not saying we need to be man-pleasers, okay? The Bible talks against being a man-pleaser. Because if you're going to be a man-pleaser, you're probably not going to be pleasing unto God. And I found out early in my ministry that I'm not going to be able to please everybody. I hope to be pleasant to everybody, and I hope people will like me, and I hope people will associate with me and communicate with me and fellowship with me, but I still have to put God first. I can't be drawn away by the things of the world. I can't be drawn away by the continual negative and things that are in the world. If you listen to sometimes the things that are in the world, it'll pull you down spiritually. And we're supposed to commend or conduct ourselves in the sight and the presence of God. Okay? First and foremost, we got to please God. We can't please God and the other things of the world. We must put God first in our life if we are to exercise this ministry that we have in our life, that God has given to us, by the way. And then it mentions, after it goes from there, in verse number 3, after we've done these things and after we understand all the characteristics of the ministry that God has placed in our life, then it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. There are going to be people in your life that's not going to see it. They're going to offer every excuse in the world. They're going to first of all, they're going to call you self-righteous. They're going to put you on I'm not going to say a pedestal, but they're going to put you in a place where you think you're better than everybody else. No, that's not it at all. In fact, I had to think that I was worse than anybody else before I could repent and come to an altar of repentance and ask the Lord to come in and forgive me. And because I know that God has forgiven me, then I want to have that same experience with you. I want to share that experience with you. I want to minister to you. I want to help you. And ministering can sometimes be of the lowest estate, the lowest state of ministry. It's not the real glorified thing that sometimes that we imagine it to be. I remember reading in the Bible where Jesus went to Peter's house and Peter's mother-in-law was sick. You remember the story? And Jesus healed her. He prayed for her. And she got up immediately, and the Bible says, begin to minister to them. Now, what did she do? She began to set the food and the sustenance and all before them and place the food there. That's what she was doing. She was ministering to them. Sometimes what God calls us to do may be to feed. It may be not a glorious job. It may not be one that is in the limelight, so to speak, but it is still a part of the ministry for God. And it takes every one of us working together. And this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to address in the congregation or to the church. Let's all work together for the glory of God. Let's all work together for others to be born again, for others to come into this glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just to be like me, not just to be a member of this church. I loved what Sister Penny said a while ago. It's not just about building up the attendance in First Pentecostal Church. It's about getting folks saved. Amen? Getting folks folks in the family of God, whether or not you're a member here, whether or not you even attend, if you can minister to somebody and have them be born again and give their life to Jesus Christ, that's great. That's what we ought to be working for, because that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about here. So if it's hid, the Bible said it is hid to them that are lost. And then he goes ahead and explains why they're lost. He says, in whom the God of this world. How many knows there's an adversary, and a very strong adversary, and that spirit works, and that spirit works against God and tries to confuse. In one place, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Satan is never going to be friendly to you. He's always going to come and try to take something away from you, take your blessings, or try to get you down, try to get you to blame God. But in whom the God of this world hath blinded, not the eyes, but blinded the minds. Now, I want to do a little exercise with you, and I don't want you to vocalize anything. I don't want you to shout out any names. But I want you to take just a few seconds, maybe a minute, and I want you to visualize, and I want you to think of a person or persons that you may know, that you may have an association with, maybe a family member, maybe a cohort, maybe somebody that you shop with, maybe somebody in your community. But it seems like that their mind is blinded. Because any time that you even mention the word God or about salvation or church, they instantly change the subject. And it's for multitudes of reasons. I've talked to many people, and many people use this excuse. Well, I was hurt in church years and years ago. If you was hurt in church, it wasn't God's fault. How many realize that church is made up of people? People like you and me. People who are imperfect. People who are trying to live for the Lord. Sometimes people make mistakes. And because somebody makes a mistake, hurts my feelings. I don't want to give up on God. I don't want to throw away what God has already done for me. I want to forgive them as God has forgiven me. Amen. And I want that to make me stronger, not to make me weaker. But many, many people use that excuse. I was hurt in church for years and years ago, so therefore I don't go. Man. So they've been blinded, spiritually blinded by things. So these are, the Apostle Paul said, these are the things that if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They can see it, but they're not having it, okay? The Bible says seeing, you know, or some people say see is believing. Not always in the case of the Bible, amen? Sometimes we see and people see, and they see your life, and they still won't believe it. My granddaddy was ministering to someone that he worked with. They had discussions on several things, and they was discussing something about salvation. And the man told him, he said, well, I wouldn't believe it if you showed it to me in the Bible. And my granddaddy said, well, you know... there's nothing else I got to show you except the Word of God. If you know, I certainly don't want you to believe me, but if you'll believe the Word of God. And what a statement that is. And the man was just, you know, speaking from, I guess, his heart. If he thought about what he said, he probably would have retracted that statement. But a lot of people like that. You know, I'm not going to have it. I'm done with it. Don't even talk to me about it, because their eyes, or their minds, rather, have been spiritually blinded. So, it's hid to them that are lost. First of all, it's because of blinded minds. Secondly, I think it's because of their void of the glorious light. He goes ahead and says, the blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. I mean, you know that we didn't always see the light. Thank God that I had parents that brought me to church, and just because they brought me to church didn't mean I saved, okay? Just because they brought me to church didn't mean I was automatically had a free ticket to heaven. Amen. I had to come to the knowledge of the light of Christ. I had to come to an altar of repentance. I had to ask Jesus Christ to come in and clean my life up. And when he did, he placed this ministry in me. And when understand now, when I'm talking about ministry, the calling to preach came years and years later. But I believe with the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord, that's when the ministry comes. He said, Brother Eddie, I'm not a minister. I believe, according to the Bible, that we all have a ministry to fulfill. Helps, you know, healing, all of these other things are the gifts of the Spirit, but there's also ministry. And ministry can be nothing more than, and I want to say it that way, ministry can be as great a job as driving a bus to pick up kids. Amen? You know, sometimes they don't get a lot of praise. But I will assure you, if you've ever drove and picked up a bunch of kids, you probably don't want that ministry. So you pray for that person that does have that ministry. Amen. That God will keep them doing that part, because these are jobs, amen, that so many times don't get the glory. They don't, not in the limelight, but they're part of the ministry of God, amen. So even as we have church up here, they're young. They have our young people downstairs, and they're being ministered to, amen. Thank God for that, because they have someone that can share the gospel of Christ with them. So the reason it's hid to them that are lost, because their minds are blinded and because they're void of the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then verse number 5. This is where the meat of the matter is. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I'll say this. There are probably people today that are turned off of church because all they hear is the promotion of the church, or the promotion of the pastor, or the promotion of the ministry of the church. That's not what saves folks. The Word of God is what pricks hearts. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. Amen? And we need to administer that in our church, not only in the church, amen, but outside of the church. So many times, your greatest witnessing is probably done on the outside of the church rather than inside the four walls of the church. So it says that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to the face in the face of Jesus Christ. So with that, you remember, with that mercy came favor, and with that favor came benefits, but also with that mercy came opportunities. So basically, this message tonight in a nutshell is God has saved us, God has filled us, but God has also called us into the ministry. Amen. And it's never so clear as it is right there. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then he goes ahead and reminds us in verse number 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. How many knows that we're just earthen vessels? That's what keeps us humble. Amen. And we live in probably the best state of the United States, amen, to bear that out. Because if we go out and pick up a handful of Georgia red clay and look at it, that's about all we are without the Spirit of God. We're just an earthen vessel. But in that earthen vessel, God has seen fit to fill His Spirit in that earthen vessel. Thank God that He loved us that much. Amen. That we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I believe the Apostle Paul thought it was so very important that he mentioned it again. Basically, it's not about us. Okay? It's all about Him. What God has placed in our life, the talent that He has given us, the ability that He has given us, the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. And then He encourages us, because of this glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ministry that He has placed in our life, He says, we are troubled on every side. Can I get a witness? Have you ever seen so much trouble? Have you ever seen so much anxiety? Have you ever seen so much stress? Have you ever seen so many things coming against you all at one time? Amen? This place and this time of life that we're living in is very, very stressful. Amen? It's sometimes, I've heard people say, use the word overwhelming. But the Lord has given us this ministry. He's given us that light. Amen? We're, even though the Bible says that we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Amen? Come on, we're not going to faint because of the trouble. Because greater is He that is within us than he that's in the world. We are overcomers. The Bible said, more than conquerors through Christ. Can't do it within ourselves, but through Christ. We are perplexed. There's perplexing situations. How many times we'll be wringing our hands saying, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to handle this situation. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I just want to throw my hands up and quit. Then the adversary say, I got you. But we're going to be perplexed. Amen. But not in despair. God has never failed us. Amen. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind, because I got confidence, not in myself, but I got confidence in the Lord. Amen. So many times I've had to use the words and the lyrics of that song to encourage myself when things get a little bit out of hand. So we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Always. Say that with me, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in my neighbor's body, in our body. Lord, manifest your life. Manifest your light in this body. Help me to be what you would have me to be. Not what I want to be, but what you would have me to be. And Lord, for you to get honor and glory, give me an opportunity. Let people see something in my life that'll cause them to want to accept you as Lord and Savior. And isn't that what ministry is about? Isn't that what it is, reaching out to others, helping folks? And you know, I'll leave you with this. They're not always going to have a sign on that says candidate. That would be easy to spot if they had a candidate sign. Oh, there's one. Let me go minister to them. But so many times, that's not the case. Again, it could be somebody you least expect. And really, if we want to kind of rock your world a little bit, it might be somebody that you don't even get along with. I've had that case happen too. And really, God can humble you down when He gets you to minister to somebody that you don't... I'm trying to be delicate here. Somebody that you don't jihad with. Somebody that you just have great conflict. It's like you've seen the two magnets when you put them at odds and they, you know, shoot at each other like that. But you know, sometimes God leads us to minister to those folks. Because again, you don't know what that person's going through. You don't know what kind of misery they may have at home. You don't know what kind of weight may be on their shoulders. And we're so quick sometimes. I say we, society. Society is so quick to write those folks off. But thank God, somebody didn't write me off. Somebody loved me. Somebody witnessed to me. Somebody helped me. Somebody was there with me when I went down to the altar and prayed. And that's another thing. That's a ministry too. Amen. Praying for folks when they come to the altar. God bless you. I love you, each and every one. I pray that God will reveal in our life the ministry, the great importance of the ministry that is placed in our life, and the obligation that comes with that ministry. Amen. To see other folks living, other folks operating in the Spirit, and other folks a part of the body of Christ. Again, not necessarily this church. We'd love to have them. Have open doors. We'd love to have the more the merrier. Amen. But the main thing is to make sure that they have salvation in their life. So I ask you to think a little bit while ago about that person. The next thing I'm going to ask you to do is sometime this week pray for that person. Whoever it is. It may be multiple people. But the people that came to your mind, there's a reason that you thought about those people. And I guarantee you, you probably thought about them before. But there's your opportunity. There's your opportunity to exercise that ministry that's in your life. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? Thank you for coming. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's all bow our heads. And as our heads are bowed tonight, as we pray, before we dismiss, if you have a need tonight, if you want to bring it to the altar, I assure you that we will pray with you. We'll pray for you, whatever the case may be. If you're sick, if you're afflicted, then we know the healer. Amen. Said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And if you're any of you sick among you, call for the elders and let them pray and anoint with oil. So if there's one tonight. If not, while every head is still bowed, if you just lift your hand, if you want the pastor to pray this week, just lift that hand. God bless those hands and we'll be praying. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer? Again, we love you. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful and a blessed night and the balance of the week as well.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful message tonight in His Word. Just want to lift up the Lord and give Him all the glory. Again, I echo what Brother Eddie said. So good to see each and every one of you tonight. We're going to be praying for you and for your families and for those that aren't able to be with us. And for our guests, we just really appreciate y'all being with us tonight. If all hearts and minds are clear with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Don't forget the announcements we'll have at work day Saturday morning and then homecoming Sunday. All righty. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you again, dear Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to come into your house and in your mighty name. Dear Lord, your word has so much power in it, dear Lord. Your word lifts us up and strengthens us and guides us, dear Lord. May we be subject to you, dear Lord, subject to your word, dear Lord. May we go about your business in our daily life. Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we don't want to just leave it here. Lord, we want to take it with us, dear Lord, and that it is your word in you. Lord, we know that you fill our spirit, dear Lord. If there's any prayers or any situations, dear Lord, that wasn't mentioned tonight, dear Lord, again, we're just asking you to touch each and every one. Lord, again, keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Amen. Praise God.